It doesn't have to be very much, and I'm not telling you to put your children outside in blazing sunshine, but in the morning, if it's sunny outside, 10 minutes of no SPF, running around with their arms out and legs out, would probably help the situation a lot. Welcome to the Wellness Breakdown, where we examine the latest health trends and we discuss how lifestyle and nutrition can truly change the way you live.
I'm Eve Kalinic. I'm a nutritional therapist, author and consultant.
And I'm Rose Ferguson. I'm a functional medicine practitioner and also an author.
Yeah, we haven't always been in this game. Rose spent most of her youth on international catwalks as one of the most iconic 90s supermodels.
I'm not sure about that. But Eve had a very hectic career as a fashion PR. So we've definitely been there. We've done it. And there is no room here to preach.
Yeah, this isn't one of those waggy finger should do podcasts. We're here to dig into some of the wellness trends, figure out whether some of this stuff is just nonsense, and give our personal and professional opinions on some of it.
It amazes me that the global wellness industry is now worth over $5 trillion. So before you go out spending your hard-earned cash on the latest new thing, make sure you listen to the Wellness Breakdown first. The Wellness Breakdown is sponsored by Ancient and Brave, a mission-driven wellness brand with an award-winning range of collagen, MCT oil, and nootropic blends. From supporting menopausal symptoms to supercharging your energy, Ancient and Brave's products are pure, potent, and easy to make part of your daily, morning, or wellness ritual.
Personally, I find the true collagen really easy to take, and I normally add it into my morning coffee, which is a habit that I already have ingrained. I'm never going to miss my morning coffee, and it's definitely a way to maintain consistency.
Yes, well, I love collagen too, and I've been using Ancient and Brave for a very long time, and I do use it with clients, I use it for myself. I do actually love the cacao blends. I love the collagen one with cacao. Delicious.
Yeah, and what really sets them apart is their sustainability. They're a B Corp as well as a member of the 1% for the Planet. This means donating 1% of all sales to environmental causes that protect the planet, because collective action adds up. So buying their products means you're supporting the planet too. Visit 1percentfortheplanet.org to learn more.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Wellness Breakdown.
This week, we are looking at vitamin D. Vitamin D is something that I think Rose will agree is something that we see a lot, or we talk about a lot in our practice with our clients, because especially living in the UK, it's something that we can quite easily be deficient in, even in the middle of summer, actually. And we'll go into like how vitamin D is made, really, from sunlight exposure. But it is one that is really important because it has such a wide functioning in the body, like it's needed for lots of different systems. But today we're going to dig in around what is vitamin D, essentially why we need it, how we can get more of it, and even things like supplementing. So shall we start off by really explaining what vitamin D is, Rose?
Yes. Well, vitamin D, for a start, is actually technically not a vitamin. It's a bit of a misnomer. Unlike other vitamins, vitamin D is sort of like a unique because it behaves more like a hormone. So most vitamins and minerals you get from food and you ingest, vitamin D we actually create in our body. And we will go, as you said, we'll go into how that happens. But yeah, I mean, I suppose that's one of the big differences. I don't want to confuse people, but it's just sort of over historically, it's become known as vitamin D when actually that's not it. So it's something that we can't eat. It's not something that we can take in. It's something that our body actually makes. And that is why it's known as the sunlight. It's when the sunlight hits our skin, in the fat cells in our skin, in our body, we make vitamin D, which makes it slightly different from the others.
So yeah, so when we expose our sun, and it has to be unprotected sunlight exposure, that's a key thing, we then metabolize that, or through the sun exposure, in organs like predominantly the liver and the kidneys, into the more kind of what's called the preformed vitamin D, which is the one that we can actually use. We can get tiny amounts through the like dietary sources, but it's so negligible that it would be very hard to meet your needs. But it is something that, because I guess, especially in the UK, because we don't have particularly strong UV rays at any point. I mean, God, last summer, apart from that weird September where it was boiling hot. Like, we basically had no summer. And so it's quite hard for us to then, you know, and a lot of us then working indoors. And then when you go outside where, you know, we've got a lot of SPF on, which is, you know, legitimate, and there's lots of reasons why we should do that. But it can leave a lot of us then really quite deficient. And I don't know about you, Rose, but I've seen clients in my practice that in the middle of summer, they're really deficient in vitamin D. So unless you're going on like some really lovely holidays, you know, that can quite easily happen. And, you know, vitamin D is really important for lots of different areas in the body, isn't it?
Yeah. So, I mean, it is one of the areas that the GP will actually look at now, which is a whole leap forward into the unknown for the medical world. You know, it's amazing because they really do test it. It's one of the tests that they will carry out if there are, you know, concerns around energy or bones or but also the other thing is, as Eve said, SPF is legitimate, but it does mean that if you have SPF on, you can be out in the blazing sunshine, but you're probably not making very much vitamin D. And this is something I think that's really important to talk about. And I don't mean to sort of, you know, take this to the top of the podcast, but we were talking about the fact that some kids never get vitamin D, very low in vitamin D, because rightly, and I understand it, you know, I used to lather my children in this chemical SPF stuff, but it does mean that they probably aren't getting very much vitamin D. So it's just something to be aware of. It doesn't have to be very much, and I'm not telling you to put your children outside in blazing sunshine, but in the morning, if it's sunny outside, 10 minutes of no SPF, running around with their arms out and legs out, would probably help the situation a lot. So, you know, and as Eve said, I see people nowadays and they're really low in vitamin D, and the impact of that, you know, because the reason we're doing this podcast now at this time of the year was because after winter, vitamin D tends to be very low unless you've been on a lovely sunny holiday. We store it in our fat, and then over through the winter months, we use it. And so when it comes to getting towards the end of winter, our vitamin D stores can be super low. So something like SAD, seasonal adjusted disorder, you know, when people are feeling very tired and very low, sometimes you give someone a vitamin D supplement and it is the most miraculous change, and it's very satisfying. Mm-hmm. Can have a huge difference on how you feel emotionally and, I would say, energy-wise.
Yeah, definitely. And I think what you mentioned there about children specifically is that, you know, that's really when they're laying down the foundations of their bone health. And vitamin D, I know we talk a lot about calcium related to bone health, which is important, but vitamin D is just as important. So there are certain life stages where it actually might even be more important, like at that age. And then also, you know, when we're getting a bit older and we want to kind of prevent bone loss.
Yes.
But there are other associations with why we would need, you know, vitamin D.
Yeah.
Hormonal health actually was one that was really interesting. So when we were doing a bit of research around this, there was actually some studies around how low levels of vitamin D can actually impact on IVF results, to the point where it's four times more likely to conceive if you have sufficient levels of vitamin D, which I thought was really, really important. Also links back to the episode we did about fertility, but I thought that was really interesting because, you know, it is a fat-soluble vitamin, it does impact on hormonal balance more generally. But I did think that was a really interesting stat, actually.
Because it's really important for the immune system regulation, you know, for pathogen fighting effects, like, you know, it helps the monocytes and macrophages in our system. But it's also very good at bolstering the immune system, which, you know, and reducing autoimmune maybe. So those, all those things just, I would say, indicate a body that's in good working or in better working order because a good level of vitamin D. So, I mean, the thing is about vitamin D is the more research it gets done, the more they find more areas of health it helps. Yeah. I know that it's important for things like apoptosis as well. So cell differentiation, which for people who are thinking about longevity, I mean, not, it shouldn't just be longevity, but, you know, it's an interesting fact that they think it might help in that cycle. And apoptosis is where we get rid of cells that are, we recycle cells that are not in great shape, basically. So, you know, getting rid of those efficiently is good for us and good for our immune system again.
Yeah, exactly. Cellular turnover is really important for healthy immune system functioning. But there is enough data around low vitamin D levels being associated with a propensity for autoimmune conditions, where basically the immune system is not responding in an appropriate way. So it starts attacking one's own tissue. And those can be myriad, actually. So things like psoriasis, which is one I see commonly in my practice, atopic conditions like eczema, for instance, asthma, but also things like, you know, thyroid, autoimmune thyroid conditions like thyroiditis, Hashimoto's. You know, there's so many now, actually, there's so many autoimmune conditions. So if you are somebody that has an autoimmune condition, it might be worth looking at your vitamin D levels, because that might be related to certain flare-ups and things like that.
Yeah. And it is one that I would happily, she says, I would in most cases say that supplementing vitamin D through winter months, through the darker months, from October to March, is a good thing to do. If you work in an office, you live in a dark country in the Northern Hemisphere, then I would probably supplement between October and March. But then having said that, as you said at the beginning, people who go on holiday think that they have got enough vitamin D. They don't necessarily. There are lots of reasons why that might be, but it's definitely worth getting checked.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think it's one that has any massive contraindications, to be honest. So as a general rule, I think it's definitely sage to be doing that. And also, you know, you talked a bit about SAD, and you know, there is a rise of like mood disorders more generally, and I think we've got to be aware of the fact that, like, you know, with the awareness around skin cancer, which is real, when using the SPF, and so maybe there is some correlation there, I'm not really sure. But you know, even linked to things like sleep disorders, there's quite a lot of research around low vitamin D levels and more of a likelihood towards certain sleep disorders. So, and again, that's something we see a lot in our practices, isn't it? Where people are struggling with their sleep. So it's like hard to find like systems that are not impacted by vitamin D, because even things like cognitive health now, you know, there's research coming out around that and certain neurodegenerative conditions and low vitamin D status. So yeah, it's kind of hard to find an area that is not influenced by vitamin D. So I totally agree with you, Rose. I think, you know, and but even in hotter climes, if you're somebody that does like shade yourself from the sun quite a lot, we're working indoors quite a lot, you may still be deficient in vitamin D. So I guess it's thinking about how does one supplement that? And we were talking a bit about this before. I mean, personally, I think you said you use drops, because you want to really have it in a lipid form, because it is a fat-soluble vitamin and the drops normally do provide it in that way. I use one that actually has K2 in it as well, just because that's important for bone health, amongst other things.
Sorry, I was just going to say, a lot of them are D3 and K2 together, but there are some people who can't take K2, but so you just have to be aware of that.
Yeah, personally, I would favour that over, say, like capsules and things like that, which may not be as well absorbed, because absorption is a real thing, which is what we also touched upon, that you know, if you have any gut issues or gut dysbiosis, you also just want, you know, that can compromise the ability to absorb vitamin D. So yeah, in that lipid form, it's going to be much more bioavailable, so easier for us to absorb. And then dosage wise,
I suppose I would look between 3,000 and 5,000 IU a day. This is where it would be good to go and get your vitamin D status checked and see where you're sitting. I would like a vitamin D status of around 100. I think the NHS probably look around 60, 70. Is that right? But if you'll say your vitamin D was at 22 or lower, then I would probably be looking at towards, I don't know. I mean, what I would do in clinic is different to what I would suggest you do, obviously, here. I think up to 5,000 IU a day, if your vitamin D status is on the low side, is pretty good. And I think 3,000 is a good maintenance dose. That's what I would say. But you may differ.
No, I think around, 2,000 to 3,000 IU as a maintenance. And yeah, if you are low, you need to obviously bump the levels up. Also, if you are darker skinned, you probably would need more. So this is where it gets into like different, like individuality in a way. So you might need to supplement more than, say, somebody that has lighter skin. We talked a bit about IVFs, didn't we? Because I wasn't aware actually you could do IVFs of vitamin.
IVs.
Sorry, IVs. Oh my God, I'm going back to the previous episode now. Or like maybe my brain's just in that mode. IVs of vitamin D. Because you were talking, I hadn't heard about those, so...
Yeah, so you can just get a really high dose. So some people take a really high dose from their GP and do it every other month. And then other people do IV vitamin D. I don't know. I don't really know the answer to what's better. I just suppose I think that I'm not a massive fan of high dosing anything, to be honest. I'd rather it was consistently taken and maintained at a consistent level. I mean, I wouldn't interfere with the doctor, obviously, but that's my feeling about it.
Yeah, I agree. Like sometimes it's like how much of that can you absorb in one go, in a way.
Yeah.
I guess it's also worth touching on how would one know, like symptom wise, whether you're low in vitamin D. So things like typically, you know, things like fatigue is a big one, isn't it? And low mood. And if you do feel like you're getting recurrent infections,
yeah,
or like colds and things like that, those might be kind of signs to go get it checked. Like you can go to your GP and they will run a blood test. I mean, that's kind of the most obvious, easy way to do it.
Well, I think we should touch on rickets, which, I mean, it just sounds like a twist to me, but it sounds so Dickensian. But rickets are on the rise. And this goes back to probably, I know I'm going to get into trouble for saying don't use SPF. That is absolutely, can I just say that's not what I'm saying?
No, we're not saying
at
that.
All. But it is something to be aware of that, well, for one, we all, as I said, we work in offices. We spend so much time inside, we're very rarely outside, a lot of us, unfortunately. And then for our children, as I said, we're all covered in SPF all the time. So rickets are where the bones aren't. And as Eve said, when children are growing, that is literally laying the foundations for strong bones. And rickets are basically where bones aren't strong and you can get very bowed legs. So it's just something to be aware of because rickets is a very, you know, and it is from vitamin D deficiency. And I think, as you said, getting multiple colds, if you're feeling very low in energy, and if you're one of those people who always finds it very difficult during the winter, it might be that the miracle cure, or not miracle cure, but I've had people where they've started taking vitamin D and it has been fantastic. And then they're like, game changing. Yeah. Thank you, Eve.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to touch upon actually is the relationship. And it's not clear whether it's not necessarily cause and effect, but the relationship between cholesterol levels and vitamin D, because we do make vitamin D from cholesterol. So it's worth looking, if you have high cholesterol levels and you haven't had your vitamin D levels checked, to do that, because that there is some relationship there as well. And that's something that I've often seen in my clinical practice, is supplementing vitamin D does have a positive impact on that. So I just... Yeah, that's one thing I also wanted to say. But yeah, like I said, it's bloody hard to find anything, really. I mean, because then we're getting into cardiovascular health. So, you know, it does impact on every, like so many systems in the body. So yeah, it's super important.
If you're having a set of bloods done at your GP, ask them to tag on a vitamin D test before you do.
Yeah. And it's also a cheaper supplement. So it's not like super expensive to get one. I mean, we're talking about the optimum supplement that we talk about, but to be honest, like those, the drops, they do last bloody ages. Yeah. Like, so, you know, one like little 30 mil bottle is probably going to last you at least one winter, if not longer. But, you know, there are things like the sprays and stuff like that, which are, they're not expensive actually. So.
And the sprays are sublingual. So they also will just, they get absorbed slightly differently to taking an oral supplement, taking a capsule. I quite like the sprays. I think, and also, do you know what, just for the novelty factor, people seem to stick to sprays because they have them in their bag.
Yeah.
And so then they just remember throughout, you know, I don't know why, it just is in their bag and they take it, I guess. So, you know, and compliance is something that is more important than having a really good supplement and not taking it at all.
Well, exactly. No, consistency definitely is key where vitamin D is concerned. But I agree. If that's what you can take, then go for it, basically. Yeah.
Okay, well, have you got anything else to say about vitamin D at this point, young lady?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I've said all I'm going to say about vitamin D. Anything that you want to add, Rose, or should we jump into emails?
I think we should do some emails. I want to see the emails.
So the first one is from Paula, and Oh, this is really sweet, actually. Hi, ladies. Thank you for being so open, Eve, about wanting children. I've wanted children for 4 years, and like you, have not found the man, the house. What should you put here? The picket fence? Oh, the white picket fence. I would like to do it myself, but I'm still waiting just in case. Maybe I should just go for it. Love your podcast. I mean, it's such a big decision. Like, I shared my kind of journey with all of this, and in the end, like, it wasn't where I wanted to go, but I think it's amazing if that's what you want to do. But yeah, definitely get some support. Use the Facebook kind of group chats, and yeah, so many amazing tools, and so many women out there kind of sharing their experiences. And from what I read, actually, when I was engaging with those groups, is that it was very hard to find any of the people that had gone ahead and done it on their own that weren't just like absolutely loving it and thriving. But I do think it's something that, obviously, it's very personal. And so, yeah, I would wholeheartedly recommend engaging with some of those groups too.
I can imagine it being really helpful, because there will be someone that will have the same, you'll be able to listen to lots of different stories of different journeys, of different choices and decisions that have been made. And I would imagine that that is really, would help you get some clarity around, okay, that is actually, I'm listening to that and that's resonating with me. Because otherwise I would imagine it's really difficult on your own. Like, what the hell am I supposed to do? What's the right thing?
No, I mean, 100%. I think the more conversations we can have, because what is, there is no such thing as a nuclear fam. I mean, I guess you guys are quite rare in that way. You know, like, there isn't...
Well, we're not nuclear, are we? Because I'm a 3x2, babe.
Oh, well, that's true, actually. Of course, of course.
That's a terrible expression, which I should never use, but everyone thinks it's hilarious. We're a blended.
Yeah, you are, right. So, sorry, yeah, of course. Yeah, I guess it's just, what is a normal family now? I mean, yeah. And I think that, you know, there is a huge rise of women and men, actually, doing it on their own. And so... Yeah, I think it's important to share experiences and thought processes and journeys, because something might resonate, something might click. And like I said, I think some of the support groups definitely gave me a lot more clarity around what I did in the end. So I would, Paula, go check them out, because there's lots of people that are really supportive and lovely along the way. So, yeah.
Okay, this one is from Sarah. Hi, Rose and Eve. I gave up coffee 5 years ago and I love my matcha. It doesn't give me the jitters, like you said, that coffee did. Also, I love the ritual that surrounds it. Avid fan of the podcast, Sarah. Oh, that's nice. Yes, you sound like me, Sarah. Not very good with coffee. Love the ritual and love my matcha. I'm going to go and have a matcha now that you said that. Can we have one after we finish?
I feel like I don't want to shift all my allegiances from coffee, though, because Rose made me give it up a few years back and I've slowly got back into it. But yeah, no, it is. I do love matcha too. Like, we are big matcha fans here. So yeah, go listen to that episode.
Yes.
And thank you guys for listening. Hope this has given you a lot of insight, or more insight, into vitamin D and all its benefits. And if you do want to email us, you can reach us on info@thewellnessbreakdown.co.uk, and we would love for you to follow the show.
We really love hearing from you. It really does make the world a difference. It's also really nice to know what interests you, what doesn't. If there's anything you'd like us to cover, just let us know.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great week.
Bye.